provide the freedoms which we have, and we know that that is of Him or from Him, and so we praise Him and understand that true freedom is found in Christ. So again, thank you. This morning, I'm going to speak on a topic that some might say is not appropriate for a worship service. It's the topic of sex. It's, however, sorely needed in our sex-charged society, our sex-charged culture. God is the one who created sex, so we should know what He says about it. And we need to point out that answers to questions about sex are found in His Word. And because people have ignored what God says, because the church has had the tendency to avoid the subject all too often, the world has come up with its own opinions about the subject and has resulted in disaster. Came across this statistic. 1 in 2 sexually active persons will contract an STI or sexually transmitted infection, commonly called STD. 1 in 2 sexually active persons will contract an STD by age 25. The Centers of Disease Control and Prevention estimates that nearly 20 million new STIs occur every year in this country. 20 million every year in this country. Half of those among young people aged 15 to 24. The total estimated direct cost of STIs annually in the U.S. is about $16 billion. I've heard one statistic that points out that there is more money in the porn industry than all the professional sports combined. That is startling. So I think this is a topic that we need to talk about, right? Don't you? Proverbs shows that immorality leads to death. We're going to see that here today. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to see through our study here that immorality leads to death. But on the other hand, God's way, purity, leads to life. So as we talk about this, I was really praying that I just wouldn't be this hard, you know, really angry preacher in the pulpit about the woes of our culture and society, but to encourage you, yes, that is out there and that's what's happening, and Proverbs speaks to this, but to understand and know the blessings of doing things God's way. I hope you see that today. I hope you gain hope as a result of our time together today. Because Proverbs shows that immorality leads to death, but God's way, purity, leads to life. And the world, we, mankind, we tend to pervert things. But God redeems it. And He does so through salvation, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give, we're going to be talking today, and I'm going to give some suggestions, and I'm going to give some hope and encouragement, and how to overcome, and how to grow and change, and so on. But I want you to realize that it is only because of salvation through Jesus Christ that you can put any of these things into practice. You can try, but as one guy I counseled years ago, not here, but years ago in Indiana, this guy says, I've tried and I've failed. He forgot the gospel because there is victory through Jesus Christ. All right, I want to give you that hope. I want to give you that encouragement. It's through Christ and Christ alone. And so, and then as you surrender to the Lord and the power of His Spirit enabling you and strengthening you, you can, as a believer, see victory in your life in this area of purity. Turn to Proverbs 6, verses 23 and 24. Proverbs 6, 23 and 24. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life, to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth talk of the adulteress. Note that one way to wisdom, it's not the only way, but one way to wisdom here is through sexual purity. So this is an issue for all of us, for everyone here. We need to teach our children to have a right attitude about sex, so that when the word sex is mentioned, it's not, you know, kids, who, you know, start giggling and laughing about it, because it's so often thought of being taboo. You're not supposed to talk about that, especially in church, right? So our kids need this, to have a right view and understanding that, hey, that's something that we even talk about in church. The teenagers, think of our teens. As you're growing and maturing and the sex-charged culture and hormones and everything, you're going from being a child to being an adult. And the world says, hey, you know, this is great, this is wonderful, and it is in the right context. We're going to talk about that. But our teens need it to have a right view and a right understanding of this. Adults, and so much of your view and what, and even your behavior in your teenage years follows you into your adult life. And there are some who are even affected by what happened while they were teenagers in their adult lives. And my goodness, talk about the power of this issue of life. But even our prime timers, John MacArthur, pastor out in California, even tells of talking to a man in his 70s, dying. He said he wanted to talk to Pastor MacArthur. And he thought maybe this man would have some great words of wisdom and all. And he said, Pastor, he says, I have one regret in my life. And that's it. That is, I never had victory over pornography. In his 70s. So even our prime timers need this, all right? Now, there may be someone here that says, man, that's not even an issue in my life. Praise God for that not being. You have other issues, right? Because we all have these things. But pray for those who do. Because it's an issue in our culture that needs to be dealt with. All you have to do is watch commercials and you know that we have a sex-charged culture, right? So be praying. Be praying about this here today. And though the problems with sex is troubling and it takes its toll on our society, you would think that would be a deterrent, right? You would think that with all of this, all the problems there are out there about sex, in fact, the world's trying to say, it's not that big a deal, you know, it's just a part of life, come on, you know. You would think that the problems with it would deter the perversion of it and keep the activity at a minimum, but it doesn't. Our society is still obsessed. So what's the answer? How do we deal with this? Well, Scripture makes a strong case for sexual purity and its benefits. In fact, the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs are almost exclusively devoted to wisdom and sexual purity. It's an awesome study. And Solomon knew firsthand the struggles of impurity. All right? You think of First Kings chapter 11, it says about Solomon, he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. So Solomon knew firsthand the struggle of impurity. I mean, he did it all. Remember our introduction into the study of Proverbs? We went back to Ecclesiastes and he said, I held back nothing. I denied my heart nothing. I pursued everything and anything, including sexual impurity, to try to find fulfillment. And what he said is, it's all vanity. It's empty. It's not worth it. So Solomon knew firsthand the struggles of impurity, and yet God chose him to record these truths. Why? Why is that? Well, I think he understood the emptiness of perverted sexual pursuit. The world is out there, come on, man, this is great, this is awesome. And Solomon says, wait, you got to think about some things first. You got to think about some stuff. And so he records these truths here. You know, that's what's happening with many of our youth. They go off into the they graduate from high school, go off to college in this sex-charged atmosphere, or they go into the work world, and someone this morning just says, I hear it all the time at work. I hear it all the time at work. And so they go off, and the world is saying, hey, what's the big deal, you know? And you've heard, you know, from church and the pastor, you know, that you stay away from it and everything. And so then you get pressured into getting involved in sexual immorality, and you find out, wow, oh my goodness. And then the guilt comes on. It's like, I don't like that guilt. And I think a lot of kids said, this is life. So I don't like the guilt, so I am just going to deny that there even is a God. And a lot of our kids drift from their walk with God and forsake the church, forsake the Lord because of this very thing. This is one of the issues that draws them away. So here's our take-home thought today, and that is God desires you to be sexually pure. God desires you to be sexually pure. It would be easy to listen to this message and say, man, I really hope my kids are getting this. Or, I wish so-and-so was here. Oh, man, I'm going to get a copy of that message here. I'm going to make sure I'm going to put the link onto the message so they hear it. No, I want to encourage you. That may be the case, but I want to encourage you. Say, you know what? I need this. We need this. I almost put in here, I am to be sexually pure. As your take-home thought. That's the thought there. I'm preaching to you, so I put you are to be sexually. God wants you to be sexually pure. But think about it in the terms of I need to be sexually pure. Regardless of your circumstances, regardless of the nature of your temptations, God desires you to be sexually pure. So we're going to look at some lessons here today. Here's the first lesson. They're, by and large, out of Proverbs. We could just take a long time and teach a whole workshop on this or more, several. Books have been written about it, but let's learn from Proverbs. First of all, God has set parameters for purity. God set parameters for purity. God is the one who created sex. He did. He created sex to be wonderful. And so He's the one who sets the rules. He's the one who can set the parameters. And so the first parameter here is that you must glorify God. When it comes to even the issue of sexuality, you must glorify God in that issue, in this issue of sex. Think about it. That may be a foreign thought to you about sex, to think, you mean sex really does glorify God? Yes, it does. We're going to learn about that here in just a moment. But when it comes to purity here, you must glorify God. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 20. Proverbs 11, verse 20. Those of crooked heart are an abomination to the Lord. The Lord hates those with a crooked heart. But those of blameless ways are His delight. When you live a blameless life, you're not involved in sin, and the specific sin of which we speak here today is sexual perversion, sexual sin. When you're not involved in that, you're His delight. You bring glory to Him. God is the one who sets the parameters. And here, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say it boldly. Because some people think there are exceptions. And if you wonder of what I am speaking here, or to what extent, let me help you. And that is any sexual activity outside of marriage is perversion. Okay? Any sexual activity outside of marriage is perversion. Can I make that any clearer? That's a parameter that God has set. He created sex to be pure and holy in the context and confines of marriage, being that of one man and one woman alone. You don't have sexual allowance outside of that in the Scriptures. Sex is good and right in that context, the context of marriage. That's the way God designed it. And that's when sex is blessed by Him. And I like to say that sex is a wedding gift from God. So that when a couple gets married, they're free. the world, Satan says, oh, it's so restrictive. Oh, my goodness. You know what? That started with Eve and Satan tempting her. Because God said, you know what? You're free to eat of all the trees in the garden, but don't eat of this one tree. And Satan goes, you mean to tell me you're not free to eat of all the trees in the garden? Come on, how restrictive is God? And in the same way, the world says, oh, come on, is it really realistic to think that you can only have sex in the confines of marriage? And God says, in marriage, you are free to have sexual expression to your heart's delight in the context of marriage with your spouse. It's awesome. It's wonderful. And God says, there you go. It's my wedding gift to you. And the world says, Satan says, oh, man, how restrictive. But God's the one who designed it. He's the one who sets the parameters. See, if you participate in sex outside of marriage, then you're opening the gift before it's been given to you. Or it would be like going to a wedding and you look at that table full of gifts and you go, I'm going to go take that. You know, and you steal it. That's what you're doing when you get involved in sexual activity outside of marriage, because it was designed and created to be enjoyed in the context of marriage and marriage alone. Here's another parameter, and that is, you have this in your notes there. I meant to have a blank there so you could fill it in, but I thought after I saw it, I thought, you know what? This is good, so nobody gets it wrong. Sex is for pleasing your spouse. In our culture, and even in our sinful way of thinking, we tend to think it's all about me, about my fulfillment and getting what I want or what I need. And you get it backwards because it's for pleasing your spouse. And so you must avoid selfishness even in the context of marriage. Sex is for pleasing your spouse, none other. And it's primarily for giving pleasure, not getting. There's so many that misunderstand that. They get it wrong. Now, it's not saying that the pleasure in the physical relationship is wrong. It's not saying that. I'm not saying that. But it's primarily for the giving of pleasure. The emphasis is on meeting the needs of another, specifically your spouse. Even in Proverbs 5:18, turn over to Proverbs 5:18. It says, Proverbs 5:18, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. So this passage shows the joy of a couple sacrificing self for the pleasure of each other. And the greatest pleasure is that of focusing on the pleasure of another. Selfish pleasure is empty. Selfish pleasure is empty. Here's another lesson. And that's the pitfalls. We need to talk about the pitfalls that lead to sexual impurity. And I'm going to just point out two. There are others throughout the scripture. But the first pitfall is a lack of devotion to God. When you start drifting from your relationship with God, sexual perversion has a tendency of creeping its way in one way or another. Proverbs 10 and verse 9. Look at Proverbs 10 and verse 9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. The word integrity here has the idea of integer. Like my one primary focus. And in this context should be that of God. And when you start taking your focus off of the Lord, spending time with Him and time in prayer, you're going to have a tendency of drifting away from Him, and sexual perversion has its way of creeping in and taking its place. So the first pitfall is when you start straying from God. And I find in counseling that many who do not experience complete victory in this area is because they think they can handle it on their own. I'm here to tell you, you can't. You can't. As I mentioned earlier, you need, first of all, salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, you have the power of the Spirit to strengthen you, to enable you. You can read Romans 6 on that. Don't offer the members of your bodies for sin, but to bring glory to God. And so you can't do it on your own. So first of all, you need the Lord. You need to cry out to God. And then so often you need accountability. You need some kind of encouragement. You need direction. And I just want to encourage you. God gives so much hope and direction in His Word to help you. You don't have to be stuck in this, okay? We want to encourage you. I'll have more to say about that in a bit. So the first one is lack of devotion to the Lord. But another pitfall is a lack of discipline. And again, in the context of your relationship with God, we talked about the importance of a disciplined life a few weeks ago. But look at this in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1, beginning with verse 1. Solomon writing, "My son, be attentive to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." Verse 11. "And at the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, 'How I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teacher or incline my ears to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. I didn't listen. Oh, and the heartbreak and the heartache I'm experiencing because I didn't listen.'" Look at chapter 6, verses 23 and 24. "For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress." It takes a disciplined life based on the discipline. Think about this. The word discipleship, the root word is discipline. We are learning the disciplines of our walk with God when we're talking about discipleship. And it takes that discipline to avoid or to overcome sexual sin. Sexual sin is like a whirlpool. It pulls you in and sucks you down. So when it comes to discipline, you need to control your eyes. You need the discipline. You must control your eyes. Job 31:1 says, "I have made a covenant." That's a promise, a commitment. "I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin?" The idea is, how in the world could I look at another woman and lust after her if I've made this covenant with my eyes? King James says, "I've made a covenant with my eyes that I would not think upon a maiden." You know, the eyes are a gateway to your heart, to your thinking, your mind. So you gotta discipline your eyes as to what you're looking at on television, on the internet, the magazine rack as you're going out of the grocery store. Don't let your eyes wander toward those things. You have with the power of the Spirit the ability to help you not to let your eyes wander. You're at the mall. What are you looking at? You're at the pool. You're at the beach. The ads in the newspaper. You must control your eyes, but you also must control your mind. Proverbs 4:23. "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." You've got to take discipline. You've got to, "God, help me to rein in my thoughts. Give me victory." And with His help, you can. Because sexual purity is first and foremost a heart issue. Now listen to this. Just because someone has never committed a perverse sex act outside the context of marriage, there are individuals who say, "I've never committed adultery, I've never committed a sex act outside of marriage," that doesn't mean that you're sexually pure. Someone has said the most significant sex organ is the mind. Because there are those who struggle with their thoughts, even though they've never done anything outside of marriage, they still struggle with their thoughts. And I think that's what that man in his 70s was dealing with. I don't know about the rest of his life and everything, but he was struggling with his thoughts and that which he was viewing. It's a matter of replacing your sinful thinking with godly thoughts. Now, scripture memory is key to this. Psalm 119:11, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The idea here is that I'm just saturate my mind and my heart with the word of God. Now, think of scripture memory not as a magic wand. You know, there is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. God is faithful and not suffer you to be tempted above your will, that the temptation also make him escape that you may be able to bear it. Whew. All right, man. No more temptation. No, it's not a magic wand in that way. It's thinking, okay, God, these things are common to man, yes. And I'm struggling and I need victory through Jesus. And I thank you that you are faithful. And think about the faithfulness of God. We sang about that in that first song today, didn't we? You know, His mercies. And you start meditating. You start focusing in on those truths of 1 Corinthians 10:13. And it's like, wow. Before you know it, you hadn't even thought about the thoughts with which you were struggling, right? So, scripture memory is key to that. And sex becomes a matter of worship. To ignore God's instruction is to say that there is a way better than God's way. To ignore His instruction here is to say there's a way better than God's way. That's idolatry. You can read about that in Ephesians chapter 5. It talks about how sexual sin is idolatry. Because you're thinking that there's another way better than God's way. That's setting up an idol. We just sang about that too, didn't we? Lord, help us cast down our idols. How long till you want the blessing of God in this area? It takes discipline. Well, here's another lesson, and that is, and we've kind of been dancing around this, but impurity costs. I think you need to see this because the world says, you know, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. But Proverbs, God, through His Word, points out differently. Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart. Do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? He's saying, you go down this path of sexual perversion and sexual immorality, and I'm telling you, it will cost you. Chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Verse 6. For at the window of my house I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple. I have perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight in the evening at the time of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. He was at the wrong place in the wrong time with the wrong people. Verse 21, with much seduction, much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare. He does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. It's sexual perversion costs. Impurity costs. Sexual impurity misses out on Proverbs chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Proverbs 5, let your fountain be blessed. Don't let your fountain flow into the streets. But let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. The idea of the satisfaction in the context and confines of marriage and marriage alone. So let's look at a lesson concerning growing in sexual purity. How do you do this? How do you grow? How do you overcome? And again, we could say more, but first of all, maintain a pure mind. We've touched on that already. Maintain a pure mind. Proverbs 5, 1 and 2. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. Listen to what I'm telling you. That you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. Maintain a pure mind. Think on godly things. And a second way is maintain a pure body. Back a page, Proverbs 4, 20 and 23. My son, Proverbs 4, 20. My son, be attentive to my words, incline your ears to my saying. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all your flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Maintain a pure body. Now some benefits. So if you do this, and you handle all of this God's way, what's the benefit? What's the blessing here? First of all, a wonderfully fulfilling relationship with your spouse. We just read about that in chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Let your fountain be blessed. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. The physical sexual relationship is intended for pleasure within the confines here. And you know, this is so important too, that God wrote a whole book about it. It's called the Song of Solomon. Now I hope that as I have preached here this morning, that I have used terminology that was appropriate for our context. That's what God does. And He talks about the physical relationship in the Song of Solomon very openly, but in veiled terms. And so, those of you who are able to understand as an adults and so on, you read through that. If it seems like he might be talking about sex, he probably is in the Song of Solomon. And it's very colorful, it's very, very appropriately described in the Song of Solomon. God speaks openly about this. And so many couples miss out on the intimacy, the oneness that God desires in the marriage relationship. And when I talk about that, I'm not talking just about sex. Because the physical relationship should be a celebration of the oneness of all other areas of your lives. So that when you talk about the two becoming one, you're not talking about the physical relationship alone. You're talking about coming together in all areas of your lives and rejoicing in that. So many couples miss out on that. Don't. And so, yes, it's an important part, but it's a celebration of all matters coming together as one. Coming together in all matters. So you have a wonderful relationship with your spouse. Another benefit is you have the invaluable blessing of a clear conscience. Look at chapter 8, verses 32 to 35. Proverbs 8, 32. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. The blessing of a clear conscience. And you say, yeah, but Pastor, I've already blown it. I've struggled and I've blown it. I just want you to know that if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you can say, you know what? Yeah, I've blown it. I've thought things I shouldn't have thought. I've seen things I shouldn't have seen. I've done things I shouldn't have done. But I confess that before God. And I rejoice in His forgiveness. And I just, the blessing of a clear conscience. And then just use that as, don't go back there. don't revisit that. Continue on in victory. Another benefit of purity is that you know you've pleased God. You know that you've done what pleases the Lord. In chapter 11 and verse 10, those of crooked heart are an abomination to the Lord. That's not pleasing to the Lord. But those of blameless ways are His delight. I think that's what most all, if not all believers, really want to do. And that is, that I want to live to bring glory to God. And I just want you to know the blessing of that. I'm not saying I've arrived. I'm not saying I've arrived in this. But to the extent that I have grown, to that extent, I am blessed. And I have known the blessing of the Lord. And God wants that for you too. Because just the blessing of a clear conscience, know that you've pleased God, that just you rejoice in that. Another one that's not in Proverbs is the joy of knowing that you're reflecting the relationship of Christ and His church. He talks about that in Ephesians chapter 5. You think about that? When it talks about the marriage relationship and the issues of which we've spoken here today, that's a picture of the relationship between Christ and His church. Well, that's a startling thought. And so that's what He wants in your relationship with your spouse in marriage. That's what He wants us to picture. And when you remain sexually pure, you have pleased God, and pleasing God is your goal. I want to close with a New Testament passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul is writing, and beginning with verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And then he lists these sins. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. These kinds of people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't you know that? That's what he's saying. But look at verse 11. And that is what some of you were. What tense is that? Past tense. Yes, we're all sinners. We fall short of the glory of God, right? But that's what we were. You don't have to continue in sin like this. That's what you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And all God's people said, amen. I mean, man, think about that. I don't have to continue on in this. And all too often I fear that there are too many Christians who are still trapped in this sin. Not understanding that through Jesus Christ there is victory. There is hope. And we want to help you with that. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like everyone to bow your heads in prayer. And I'm asking, first of all, I'm asking for those who may be here this morning to say, you know, that just hasn't been an issue in my life. First of all, I want you to praise God. You know you have other issues, but maybe this isn't an issue in your life. I want to encourage you just to thank God for that. But then also pray for those who may be here this morning who do struggle with this. Pray for them, that they would find victory in this. So I want to talk to those who may be struggling. You know, it's personal, it's a private issue. But so often when we keep it so personal and so private, we think we can handle it and we don't get the help that we need. First of all, to be honest before God. And so I'm asking you, if this is an issue in your life to any extent that you before God, God, I need your help. Confess it as sin and say, God, I'm repenting from this. I cry out to you. You may need some instruction. You may need some help. You may need some accountability. And so I encourage you to take the connection card from the pew in front of you or from YouVersion there or from the website and fill that out and just jot down, I need help. Or if it's personal, private, check for pastors only. And we will be praying for you in our elders' meetings. And we will, if necessary, and if you would like for us to contact you and get with you, because I see it so often. I see the heartache of this issue in so many lives, and I want you to know the hope of victory. And we'd like to help you if you'll allow us to do that.